shy little Uber, liver, liver, leave.
Good evening. And welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned in to KVNF's live call-in gardening show. It's our Halloween edition, and it is spooky in here.
Yes, my pretties, call in. If you dare.
If you dare tonight. Hello, my pretty, and hello, Lance.
Good evening.
Yeah, we're doing it up now.
We're doing it up now, yeah.
Buddy, it's Halloween. This is my favorite.
Oh, boy. And too bad it's radio, because you look fabulous, my dear. Just fabulous.
Yes, thank you.
You're all going to hear the character coming out, so I think you're going to be able to imagine just how fabulous she looks.
Yeah.
Jeff has a new haircut in there.
He does. It's so tidy.
Nice. All right, we're here cleaning up the season.
And we had that great background music.
I know, he's right on it.
So cool. I know, right?
Lulu's favorite holiday, right?
Yeah.
And I'm here to celebrate and talking about still cleaning up the garden. Dry as a bone out there.
Very dry.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's a good thing if you don't like water, particularly.
We would not want buckets of water in the studio tonight.
There will
no.
be no water.
So any tips on that?
Yeah, right. Well, so now what do we do?
Yeah. Right.
Well, I put all my hoses away, drained the sprinkler system.
Too.
Right, so it is what it is.
Yeah, and I'm still hand watering my greens. That I still have there, lettuce, spinach, there's beets, and there's even some celery still out there.
Still in the ground.
Yeah. Gail, I'm still watering those things, but the cabbage are still there, and I don't want to water them because they're at a state, if they get water now, they will split. And I want them for winter storage, so I'm not watering them anymore.
Just let them sit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've kind of been letting them sit a long time
now,
haven't you?
Yeah. Well, it has been cold enough.
Oh, okay.
So to store them. So some of them, you know, I mentioned that you can actually keep them from splitting by taking a spade, a shovel, and go around them and cutting those roots, and it actually really worked.
Okay.
The ones that were just starting to, they're still
nice
right,
and firm
right
and all together.
Yeah, good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. I don't have any cabbages, but I did manage to get all of my collards and kale in bags. Frozen.
Oh, great.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
great.
So I'm excited about that.
That was a big project.
Yeah, it was a huge project. And the beets are still sitting out there. And that's going to be a massive project. They're huge. They're the size of softballs.
Whoa.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, they just were super happy. And so there you are.
Amazing. Stuff still in the ground. And
yeah.
So if you can't water... And you just don't worry about it? Or Lulu, you were mentioning putting out some hay and some...
Yeah, well, I haven't gotten as far along. And I haven't gotten to, you know, to getting into the daylilies or anything. So it's all just going to sit there till spring. But, I can't... The ground is... Usually it softens. You get a little rain, it softens. It comes back to being close almost to what it is in the spring.
Yeah, yeah.
But this year, not so much. So I'm just going to put a layer of manure on and a layer, soft layer of hay, not huge thick.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to say goodnight and call it good.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait till spring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, things change. And as we,
yes.
we
yeah.
might not get to what we want to get to. And so you do something else.
Exactly. We were talking about that when we were debriefing ourselves when we came in. It's really important, you guys, to go with the flow and to not try to force it. You could come up with a different game plan.
Every year.
It doesn't have to be the same and perfect.
No.
And you always change things. And oops, I didn't get to that.
Oopsie daisy.
Right. Just sort of go with the flow.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And things will happen. Things will, you know, everything will have something else happen. You'll find ways to take advantage or maybe not so much. But the beautiful thing about being diverse and nature is you always get something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
you're
great
never
to see,
you're never left
observe
cold.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What that different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I started edging these, some of my perennial beds because the grass has grown in. And typically I'll go and dig the grass out. It's they're so hard and dry.
I can't do it either. I was trying.
That I'm just going to leave it there until next year.
Until the crack of spring.
Mm-hmm. And right. The freezing and thawing will take care of
we'll
it.
We'll take care of it. Yeah, and it'll soften all that dirt. And, you know, if you've got a big garden and you need extra help at that time of year, figure it out. Because, like, right now you're going to need extra help because it's going to be.
Yeah.
Or you're
so
going to have to make, tough. You know. Make sure that you've got the time to get out there and do it. Because
right. And time started to move pretty fast there. I know there's all kinds of other projects that are ready and waiting.
Yeah, always.
Mm-hmm. Always something. And, you know, the big one is the garlic planting. That's the last main thing. I did plant.
So what's going on there?
I did plant some. I had the two varieties that I bought. And when you only buy a pound of garlic, that's not that many cloves.
No, that's not so many.
And and then I planted this other one. So that was Italian, and then the Georgian crystal, that's a porcelain, and then a German porcelain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I still have six rows, and three of them are going to be Angelium, and three of them are going to be the Turkish red.
Wow.
And they're
okay.
50 feet long.
So you still have that to put in?
I still have that. And those are the rows that are going to be on the sides of the squash bed that I mentioned a while back.
Right, okay,
right.
So,
you kind of changed
so
that up.
My garlic went into a bed that I was using for other things, and it's in. I got everything in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I got the elephant garlic in, I got the baby elephant garlics in, and I got all of the, what I call Letty's garlic, which is some sort of one of those Spanish reds or something.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those real pretty purpley ones, and it's fabulous. Oh, my God. It's got great flavor.
Yeah.
It's really
Letty's.
Good. Letty's. Yeah. Well, Letty was the mother of in the family that lived in that house from 1930s, roughly.
Nice.
To about, I think Polly's mom, I think Letty died in the house in the 60s.
Oh, that's great. So it was passed down from that family.
Yeah. And she was one of the big gardeners there. So. You know, she had a lot of that garlic.
Oh, yeah.
And it morphed and went everywhere, you know, because it's the one that carries the babies on its head.
Uh-huh.
So it's everywhere. And it's so fabulous because she had it right where all the roses were. Mm-hmm. Roses love garlic.
Yeah.
Keeps the aphids off, blah, blah, blah.
Nice.
Yeah,
perfect.
No, it's great. So you just go with it. And
yeah. And if you have water, you can water the garlic. Or if you don't, just let it go. It will be all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But plant it about 4 inches, 3 to 4 inches deep.
Get it down there.
Yeah, I went down deep. And I used the 4-inch utility panel squares
to mark it off.
Oh,
that's right. You've got that system.
Yeah, and it's a good thing because I have to leave it in there for the cats. And do you know those filthy felines? still, they had to get in there. Paw it a little bit, you know, just fuss with it a little bit. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know if there's any getting around that.
There isn't.
Yep.
You know, clearly they win.
But the utility panel system does work
marvelous
for a lot
of
different
things. Yeah, it's so fabulous,
things.
Right, because then you've got all this area planted, but you can go in there and walk on it because it distributes, you know, you're not packing the dirt down and stuff, so you can go in and so they, you know, turned it, they were scratching around in there, and I just walked in and put a little more dirt over it and said, nanny, nanny, boo, boo.
Yeah.
And then I covered it with, now it's covered with leaves, so I'm hoping that'll deter the little rats.
Yeah.
Well, I made my rows. I planted, what I did, planted in rows, and then I came back. If anybody's heard of the term dibble, do you know what a dibble is?
Yeah, dibble.
It's a little tool. Mine has metal point. It's metal pointed, and it has a T handle on top, and you can push it right in there, and it'll make the perfect hole up to 6 inches deep.
Oh,
so
nice.
So now that I had the rows like that, then I put that down about 4 inches.
And that was your kind
of... And there was enough moisture in that area that I didn't have to...
I had some moisture in mine, too. It wasn't as bad as it could be. And it'll take a while. Now the sun is so low that it's kind of in the shadow of the barn. But and then in the spring it'll work backwards, right?
Yeah.
It'll take a while for all of it to get ripe at the same time. But you know, I'll deal with it and figure it out as it goes. And
good deal.
Yeah.
Hey, 527-486-8186 KBNF now, and Joy is on the line with a question. Good evening, Joy.
Hi, Joy.
Hi. The Joy and Rich Show.
Yep, we knew that.
What's going on?
I would like to know what you do with your berries, your strawberries and your raspberries, to put them to bed for the winter.
Huh. Well, you've just been working on a raspberry project, haven't you?
Well, that's the one I took out. I just water them. That's one of the perennial beds I'll be spreading compost on, and that's it.
Oh.
I won't be doing anything. And
so you don't have to trim them back or
No, that's a there's well these particular variety I have are pruned to the ground already, and that that's a prima king, and they'll sprout in the spring, come up, and they'll start blooming in July sometime, and they will bear clear until frost. Whereas the other kind that winter's over, you're not going to prune those until springtime. And you're going to thin them to about 7 inches in springtime. And then you can tell if the tips have died. But right. Don't do it. I actually waited when I had those varieties. I waited till they started growing before I got in there and pruned.
Right. Now, you're right. So what happens is you look at the canes in the spring. And anything that's died back from the tip, that's what you take out.
Yeah.
Right. And then all the new canes... The canes that came last year, they're the ones that you leave that are going to bear for you this year, that new year.
That spring thing.
That spring year, yeah.
And the reason why you thin them a little bit is those new shoots that are going to be the next year's crop have to have some space.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
okay.
You can call us again in the spring. We'll explain it again.
Yeah.
But
okay. And what about your strawberries?
Yeah.
What do you do about strawberries? Just leave them, let them go?
Let them go.
They'll come back.
A little bit of, you know, I don't know if you have a deer problem. A deer loves to eat them.
Mm-hmm.
So you might put some screen over them, a little leaves or straw, just mulch. They're not that deep rooted, so maybe a little extra moisture this time.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not as, I don't
I wouldn't worry about it that much.
Yeah, but you could.
Yeah.
They're there now.
They were so sick. I've got like a 4 by 10 foot raised bed, and I went through. I mean, it was so thick. I pulled a bunch out and started another bed with them, and then I just put a little bit of straw on top and watered them.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I would. The only real thing I think is to let them go into winter with some moisture, and in the springtime fertilize them. You don't want to promote.
What would I fertilize with them in the spring?
Some compost.
Just compost tea or some all-purpose.
Yeah, but not high nitrogen.
Okay.
You want. I don't know. I like the high root growth.
Yeah, group. Well, that's what I'm saying. Not the high nitrogen, but
yeah, because you don't want all plant and no
bloom,
and so you want your phosphorus for bloom, and you want your NPK, the other one for your roots. Just go make willow. Make a willow tea. Yeah. And then you'll be fine. You know, in Connecticut, I grew up in Connecticut, and there were these big strawberry fields in some places there. And it was so interesting because they would plant all their strawberries in a row. And then when the runners came with the new plants, you know how they're kind of cool. They're almost like a spider plant, right? Because they send out a shoot, and then at the end of the shoot is the new plant. So the farmers would take all of the shoots and move them either to the right or the left, but always consistent, either right or left. And they would move all the shoots over and start their new rows. And then at this time of year, they would go in and take out all of the plants that bloomed and bore fruit last summer. And then the following summer, here comes this new row, which flourishes and bears fruit.
Yeah, the term is called walking the strawberries.
Right. Oh, really?
And then,
sure, it sounds exactly like a slinky.
Yeah, it is. And then they would move them all back the other way. So if they moved all to the right, then the right side would all flower and have their babies, and they would take all those starts and move them all to the left.
Yeah,
and they would fertilize in between, of course, and, you know, amend the soil and stuff. And it was the coolest thing to watch. It really was. And cool. Yeah, and they had really great strawberries. So it must have worked.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your information.
Yep.
Thanks
for calling.
Good luck, Joy.
Good job.
Raspberries and strawberries.
Yeah, gosh.
Thanks for calling. Fruit next year for her.
I appreciate
people
that grow those so much because it's not easy.
Yeah.
You know, they're kind of fussy and they're kind of labor intensive. And do we have another call?
No, not yet.
Oh, well, you're
someone
looking at
can just reach out right now, 527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. Lance was talking about his einkorn.
Oh, well, now we're talking.
Well,
let's get on the subject of corn.
Corn, yes, yes, yes.
I'm winnowing the einkorn, and it still has a hole on it, so the next step is to find some way to hole it, whether with my feet or with old... Einkorn is one of the grains that actually has a hole over the grain.
A hole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. H-U-L-L.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So you've threshed it, now you're winnowing it, then you have to...
Yeah. I'm going to find some
double winnow it.
No, well, I'll have to winnow it after it's I get the hole off.
Oh, right. Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha.
I'll have to winnow
so
it
you're,
again.
So you're just going to walk on it? And...
You have to step on it and twist your feet.
Twist and shout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a good time to have some music on.
Right.
But I've also heard you can use an old Corona handmill grain gun.
Wow.
And just set it at not a coarse setting. I mean, a tight setting, but a coarse setting, pretty loose. And you can get them off that way.
Huh.
Hey, Duna from Norwood is on the line. Good evening, Duna.
Hey, Jill.
Hi.
Hi,
I just want to
Duna.
Tell Lulu, have you tried lemon peels in between your palates? I found when my poor Kiki passed away last Christmas, but if you spread limonene, kind of smelling stuff in between your palates, it might help. It kind of helped her to keep out of my beds. And it just occurred to me as I was calling, maybe put a little lemongrass oil on the palate or something.
Oh.
The lemon oil seems to repel cats.
Huh. Well, that's great to hear. I know a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
You mean right on the utility panel,
yeah.
Right on it.
Yeah. But lemon peel is what I would spread on top of my gardens when I first planted seeds, and it seemed to help keep her out.
Wow.
Okay, well, that's really good to know.
That's really cool. I'll try that in a spot. I would love to try that. You know, because, I mean, my gardens are hysterical. They look like, I don't know what, you know, they're covered with all these various sizes and shapes of wire fencing, you know, to
keep the cats
keep
out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, and it's a nuisance for sure, but...
That's great, Duna. Someone just asked me that question,
so cool.
I'm going to be thankful to pass that info
on. And put some chicken wire over your palate.
Yeah. The problem is then, right, but the chicken wire, then you have to take it off, you know, as soon as everything starts coming. So,
bird netting might work, too.
Yeah, bird netting. Of course, any of that. But you know what else works that I've used in the past is you trim your roses and you put the thorny parts of the roses in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thorns.
Yeah,
okay. You're pretty smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Duna.
Thank you. That's cool.
All right.
Awesome.
Talk to you later.
Thanks. Have a good night in Norwood down there. All right, we have time for at least one more caller, maybe two, 527-4868, 1-866 KVNF now. You still have 500 pounds of carrots in the ground, Lance.
Yeah, I still have 500 pounds of carrots.
How many carrots is that?
500 pounds?
I mean, really, how does that translate? Like, let's...
Wait a second. Each bed,
visualize that.
The reason why I know that is my friend Jan came down, and she was going to get this one variety of carrots. And I asked her at the end of the day, I'm just curious, how many pounds of carrots did you get out of that one section? Because there's five sections in that bed. She goes, I got about 110 pounds. So that's over 600 pounds per bed, and I have five of those. So that sounds like 3,000 pounds of carrots.
3,000 pounds of carrots?
Well,
I thought you had 500 in the ground, but you had 3,000 altogether.
Wait. I didn't do the math. Let's just say. So that's 600 pounds per bed, and there's five beds. Five times six.
That's 3,000.
3,000.
And you still have 500 in the ground.
Yeah.
So 3,000 for the year, 500 in the
ground.
In the ground.
Jesus God Almighty. That's a ton and a half.
Yeah. And I'll tell all those people out there that I pull them one at a time.
How do you know?
And I cut the tips, tops and bottoms off, and I scrub them one at a time. All of us.
I believe it. Every time you've given me vegetables, they've been immaculately clean. But
are those the ones that are
yes.
in the – yeah.
Yeah.
I just bought like four or five of them.
They're huge.
I love them, right? And then – okay, so one of my favorite things is ants on a log.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so if you don't have a log, which is usually what do you call that? Celery.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You use a carrot.
Okay.
Oh, God,
ooh,
so
never
good.
Had that. Never done it that
peanut
way.
Peanut butter and ants on a log. I mean,
yeah, there you go. Hey, the signal is going out to Norwood tonight because Eric from Norwood is on the phone.
You know what? That's so cool.
It's awesome. Okay. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
Hi.
Good evening, you guys. Gals.
What's
back
going
to
on?
The watering thing.
Yeah.
So I called. A few months ago, we transplanted all our lilacs.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they seem to be doing fine. And, you know, all of a sudden, it's been a month since I've watered them, because I watered them heavily and started cutting back. But it's been really dry. Should I water them again before the end of the season?
Stick a shovel in the ground and figure it out.
Yeah.
Oh.
But it's not going to hurt.
No.
It's
probably isn't going to hurt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the top few inches are dry.
Yeah.
Dry as a bone.
Dry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
It hasn't rained here except for today a little bit in a month practically.
Yeah, more than that even.
Yeah. If you have the water and you want to, it's not going to take much. Because
it's not detrimental to water them when it's freezing at night?
No.
Okay.
You're only going to do it once and this would be the end of it.
Right.
Just not overwater.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
I know, I'm sitting here going,
you know,
because it is freezing at night. I mean, it is Norwood. You know, they're, you know, down there in the...
Well, or lightly water or no water and mulch.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
If you got a bunch of leaves.
Yeah.
Well, the leaves are off.
No, but I'm talking about like
leaves. Compost leaves.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, stick a shovel in the ground, see how much moisture you do have, water enough to bring it up to some sort of equality on the between the, like you're saying, the top 4 or 5 inches, 6 inches,
mm-hmm.
and where your moisture starts, and then mulch it heavily and go
so
away.
So when it freezes, it's not good.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay. I mean, yeah. But if you're doing great already since you transplanted them.
Well, I don't know great. I think they're going to make it.
Yes. It on. That's going to be awesome.
That's what you want, that positive attitude, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, keep us posted because we'd love to know, and we're pulling for you.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, Eric.
I'm going to put a little water on there and mulch.
All right.
Nice.
Sounds good.
Good
okay,
idea.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye.
I love hearing about these different projects that
I know,
are going
I
on.
Do too, you know, because it's all back to what we were talking about you know, you got to just kind of go with the flow, you know, and figure out what your priority is, where you want to put your energy to have the outcome that you desire,
mm-hmm.
and is that realistic? Is it going to happen? You know, is it, you know, hopefully.
And just go for it.
Yeah,
you might just find out.
Right? Because in the meantime, just find out. Because we're mm-hmm. sitting here, but we're at this altitude, at this climate. You're at something else with a different watering system and a different, you know, soil structure.
And wind.
And wind and everything else. And we just all have to kind of figure it out as we go.
Mm. I mean, one thing that sometimes I get to it and sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
I'll pull things out or cut them off. And some years I can't get to them. Oh, the weed whacker comes out last time. And I mow it all down, rake it onto the ground.
I just did that with the Rio Grande Garden. I realized that I'm so sorry. I'm not going to get to those daylilies, and I'm not going to get the phlox transplanted. So mm-hmm. I just mowed it down.
And said
goodnight.
What it is this yeah. year.
But on the other hand, it's not so bad to leave some things blooming too, because there's a lot of, or the seeds on things, because there's a winter birds that use mm-hmm. seeds.
I like that idea.
Yeah. That'll come mm-hmm. and you know, pick away at little, you know, like I never pull all the elderberries off the trees because mm-hmm. the birds are in
birds
there all
it.
The time. Right. And then I'm feeding the chickens. So, you know, they come in for that every once in a while. But mm-hmm. it's just, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we've got a mulching question from our friend Anthony here in Paonia. Good
cool.
evening, sir.
Hi, Spooky Worm.
Hi, Anthony.
No, I was actually going to ask about winter watering, but I thought that might distress Lulu in her current costume.
Yeah. Well, winter watering only is for new plantings that you planted this fall, and it's a dry winter. And yeah. you would just do enough just to keep them from drying out. You wouldn't soak the ground.
Right.
And that's the
right.
only time for winter watering.
See, again, I'm still trying to get my head around how long the season lasts, or it's longer than the Front Range in general. But this seems dry to me. I agree totally with the caller from Norwood. And I also just came home from Junction, seeing my son and family up there, where they're all putting their leaves out in the gutter to be cleaned
yeah,
up by the city.
Blow you away?
And I'm just like, oh, people, don't do this.
Yeah.
And put it on your lawn. Mm-hmm. And mow them, crunch them up in your mower and
yep.
mulch them.
Yep.
And then you'll cry because it's all dying because there's no water. You know? Ooh.
Right.
Yeah.
Mulch
right?
the leaves.
Mulch the
yeah.
leaves. Lulu and I have mentioned in the past.
Take all the nitrogen off and then put more back on that you have to pay a lot of money for.
Yeah.
Nah.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
No, put them down. Put them
good
down.
Good mulching advice, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, but it
nice
is kind of dry, isn't it now?
Yeah.
It is
yes.
kind of dry? Or?
Very dry.
Very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's all mulch.
Yeah. Carry on.
All right. Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Yeah,
bye.
Good
bye.
Hearing
bye.
From you. And we have one more question. It's from an email tonight, and this is about onion storage. Mm-hmm. My huge white onions do this every year. Am I just growing a variety that doesn't store? The center rots, eventually the whole onion. Braided them, kept them dry, covered, adequate airflow to cure outer skins, but brownish, turning soggy innards. Not sure who that's from, but got an onion issue.
I don't grow white onions.
Okay.
I grow reds and yellows, and the yellows store better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this year was incredible where I was eating onions from last year in August.
Wow.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
It's variety.
Yeah. And I don't grow onions either. I have my limited garden space. I just, you know, for the amount that I use, and they're always inexpensive, just go mm-hmm. get one, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Variety.
Yeah. I think
okay,
it's variety.
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Maybe
yeah.
a different,
some of that
better
stuff
storage variety.
There's the Copra is a hybrid, but it will store really good. I'm growing Newberg. Is a really good store, and that was the one I was eating in August. And those potato onions I grow, they store that
oh,
long.
Oh, they store forever. Mm.
That long.
Yeah.
And then
they're
I
like
have,
a shallot.
Yeah, and I have a onion called Red Man, which was developed in Greeley for a red storage onion, and it will store clear into May.
Wow.
And so
great.
I have like seven varieties of onions, and it's because of storage, how they store.
They work really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, super. So maybe a variety change up there on
yeah.
the email. Whoa, yeah.
One last thing on onions. One last thing on onions is we're intermediate day length. We're not long day length. And
okay.
they're short day. So look for ones that are intermediate day length.
All right.
I got to go scare kids.
Yep. Thanks for listening tonight. It's DJ Leah Love coming up next on One Woman's Perspective. We'll be back next week
yeah.
with As the Worm Turns.
Okay.
Happy Halloween.
Keep on you with daylight neon. You've got a cute vest pocket master, which you can make faster and faster. I don't know who you took a shine to, or who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.